Luke chapter 9, we'll read a few verses tonight, getting to the Word of God. The Bible says, "Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. Whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide, and thence depart. Whosoever will not receive you when ye go out of the city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them." The Bible says in verse 6, "And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by him, and he was perplexed, because that it was said of some that John was risen from the dead, and of some that Elias had appeared, and of others that one of the old prophets was risen again. And Herod said, John have I beheaded, but who is this?" I want to preach on that thought tonight. Who is this, of whom I hear such things? And he desired to see him. And the apostles, when they were returned, told him all what they had done. And he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. Let's pray. Father, Luke 9, it's the calling out of the sending out of the 12. Jesus is now in his second year of ministry. His very next miracle will be the feeding of the 5,000 with the five loaves and the two fishes. And he's now about to send out the 12 disciples to minister and to represent him. Can I tell you tonight, as Christians, as born-again believers, we need to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherever we might be, wherever we work at, whether it's home in our home. I know sometimes our wives knows us best. Amen, Jim. Hey, we need to represent the Lord Jesus Christ wherever we might be. We are a representative of him. We need to stand strong on the word and let people see Christ through us. The Bible says in verse 1, it said, "Then he called his 12 together." He called his 12 together. This would be the first time that the 12 would go out on their very own. Jesus was going to minister to the other area, and these folks were going to minister to this area here. The 12 went out together to minister and to represent Jesus Christ. He said he called his 12 disciples together. You know, he called his own. I'm thankful one day when I was not one of his own. I'm thankful that he called my name. I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit of God got a hold of my heart. I love that song that Brother Steve sings. He called my name. Amen. Are you glad he called your name one day and you got gloriously saved and born again? We ought to be thankful that he called our name one day. It said called his 12. I wonder something. Now that we're saved, now that we're born again, now that we're in the family of God, when the Lord speaks to our hearts, are we listening? I wonder what he has called each and every one of us to do. I wonder the gifts that the Lord has given us, the talents that he has given us. He calls our names, he saves our souls, and then, bless God Almighty, he gives us gifts and talents to use for his kingdom, for his glory. The Bible says in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Well, let me ask you a question. What has God called you to do tonight? I want to share just about five thoughts. The first one is the call to the apostles. They had a call to go out and represent the Lord Jesus Christ. They had a call. If you read back over, I think it's in Mark or Matthew, they went out and they could heal diseases and they could get rid of the devils and they could, listen, they could bring people to Jesus Christ to preach the Word of God. Listen, we don't do that nowadays. We can't heal and we can't get rid of the devils, amen. But I tell you what, we can go out when God calls us and we can let someone know about Jesus Christ. That is our goal. That is our mission. Hey, listen, the young people today, they need to hear about Jesus Christ. I believe Satan's trying to bring them down. Satan's trying to destroy them. I see them all over. Hey, listen, we need to have a call today and we need to pray for our young people, amen. We need to pray for those that Satan has got a hold of. We need to pray for them. We need to uplift them. We need to encourage them. Most of all, we need to represent Jesus Christ. And let them know that God Almighty is good. Let them know that Jesus saves. We need to represent Him. The Bible says He called His 12 disciples together. If you study that word out, that means they weren't all together at one place. They weren't all following Jesus at that one time. Can I tell you, one of them could have been with the family. One of them was probably out working, doing what he was doing best. They were doing this and they were doing that. And Jesus had called them together. That means to bring them together. They were all going out doing different things and doing what they had wanted to do, what they needed to do to make a living, to take care of this and their families. I'm telling you, when God called them, bless God Almighty, they obeyed the call. God Almighty, listen, praise God, He gives us jobs. He gives us families. But I'll tell you something, church, when God tells us to do something, we need to do it. We need to put Him first, set aside this and set aside that. And I'm up here preaching that, and I know it's not easy because I have problems myself doing that, amen. But I'll tell you what, I believe we need to put God Almighty first. When He speaks to our hearts and He calls us, we need to, and listen, hey, church, we need to come together as a church. We need to be one. We need to be unified, amen, and come together and show the community around here in Charlestown. Show the world out there. We've got a church that loves the Lord, amen, and we got people that are sticking together, and we've got people that are willing to follow the Lord Jesus Christ no matter what the cost. Can I tell you, the Lord, He did exactly as the Father wanted Him to do. He left heaven's splendor, came to earth, died, rose again. Amen. He's back in heaven, coming back again one day. Praise God, make an intercession now for you and I. But I tell you what, when He's hanging on the cross, what did He say? He said, not my will, but Thy will be done. Aren't you glad that Jesus did the will of the Father? Aren't you glad that He followed that? I'm telling you, we need to be doing the will of Jesus, what He'll have us to do. He said He gave them power. That word means energy. That word means force. That word means dynamite. And not only did He give them power over demons, over devils, but He said He gave them authority. And that means authority to exercise the power that Jesus gave them. He gave them the power. He gave them the authority over all devils. Everything that came their way, they had power over that. They had authority over that. Jesus gave it to them. Let me tell you something. Christian, we've got power over Satan today. He's a powerful being. But I tell you what, through the very word of God. Hey, listen, how did Christ get rid of Satan, amen? Through the word of God, amen. When He was in the wilderness for 40 days, He read the word of God back to Satan, amen. He left them. Can I tell you, we've got power today through the word of God, through the B-I-B-L-E. I love when the young people sing that. Yes, that's the book for me, amen. I stand alone on the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Thank God for the Bible, amen. We've got power today because of the word of God and also because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We've got power today because of that. Bible says in James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God. It says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Amen. We've got power today through Christ if we follow Him. The Bible says that He had power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Can I tell you that the Lord cares about the suffering of people back then? And He cares about the suffering of people today. Your body might be hurting today. You might be going through pain. Let me tell you what. Your number one priority is to know Jesus Christ. Your number one priority is to minister to others. But I tell you what. The Lord cares about the pain and the suffering that you go through. He has not changed. He cared about it back then. Malachi said He's the same. Well, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews, amen. And He said, I am the Lord God. I change not. He cares about the same thing today that He did 2,000 years ago and throughout all eternity. And He continually will. He cares about the pain and the suffering that you go through. They went out there, the apostles went out there to heal that and to help those folk because Jesus cared about that. And then the Bible says we not only see their call, but verse 2, watch this. We see their mission. Watch their mission, verse 2. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God. He sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Let me tell you what, the greatest mission they had was to go out and preach the kingdom of God. The greatest mission they had was to go out and tell others about Christ. Those that were close to maybe coming to Christ, those that were far away, their greatest mission was to go out and preach the word of God to them. Preach the kingdom of God, amen. Let me tell you what, and they, listen, they wanted to be healed. And let me tell you something, church, listen, this is amazing, but I'll tell you what, you might be going through pain now, and maybe somehow, some way, God Almighty does not choose to heal your body. But I'm telling you what, if you're saved tonight, when you get to the other side, your body will be healed. Amen. It might not happen on this side, but bless God Almighty on the other side. It'll be healed. Your body will be like Christ. It'll be perfect. Amen. If not healing on this side, then healing on the other. And their greatest mission was to tell folk about Jesus and preach the kingdom of God to everyone all around. Because that's more important. Church, let me tell you something. Leading someone to Jesus Christ, telling the people about the Lord is more important than anything you can ever do. It's more important than any job you can ever have. It's more important than any ministry we can do is to lead someone to Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing. We see their call. We see their mission. Watch this. Verse 3 and 5, we see the method. We see their method that Jesus gave them. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey. How would you like to go on a trip for a month or two or whatever? It took these apostles a while. How would you like to go on a trip and not take nothing with you? That wouldn't be too good, would it? We'd have to have all kind of clothes, all kind of shoes, whole kind of money in our pocket, all kind of credit cards, and all this and all that. And all the women would have to have extra shoes and clothes, amen. And the men would have to have plenty of money to get it for them, amen. How would you like to go out? Amen, it's true, Joanne. How would you, praise God, I know I've been married 40 years. I know all about it. How would you, my wife's got more shoes than oh my goodness, it's unbelievable. How in the world she wears that many shoes? I don't know. Let me get off that, amen. Anyhow, how would you like to go out and not have nothing to go out with? How would you like to go out and just serve the Lord and not have nothing in your pocket? He said over there, he said, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, don't take no food, neither money, don't take no money, neither have two coats apiece. He's telling them to travel light. He's telling them to go ahead out and you depend on me. You depend on those folk out there to take care of you. I'm telling you what. Listen, it's good to help our fellow Christians out. I think Tabitha's Pantry is a wonderful ministry. Amen. We not only help those people out that come in that need food, that need clothing. Hey, but listen, they're giving them the very best part. The gospel, the G-O-S-P-E-L. Amen. The good news. And that's what it's about. Take your journey lightly. Don't take no clothes, no food, no, don't take nothing. Just go out and travel light. You know, the Bible says in Colossians, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Amen. We ought to be looking above. We ought to be worried about, hey, listen, wondering about what heaven's going to be like. We ought to have our affections set on things above and travel light down here. We never know when the Lord's going to call us home. He said over there, take nothing. Their only wealth, their only good thing they had was the power and the authority that Jesus gave them. And I'm telling you, church, that's all we need. If we've got Jesus, amen, if we've got the Lord on our side, we don't need nothing else, amen. He blesses us with more than we could ever imagine, more than we could ever desire, amen. If we've got the Lord, we've got all we need. All we need. Take nothing for your journey. Verse 4, whatsoever house ye enter into, said there abide. You go into a house and somebody takes you in, don't go looking for a better one. Don't go looking for one with four or five bedrooms and a built-in pool and a hot tub and an air conditioner and a big TV screen. He said, you find a house, you go in, and you stay there until you get ready to leave. Don't go looking for something better. Can I tell you, Christians, sometimes we're always looking for something better. Sometimes we're always trying to, and listen, God's blessed us with wonderful things. There's nothing wrong with having wonderful things. There's nothing wrong with having money. There's nothing wrong with having good things. But I tell you what, don't put them ahead of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Put God Almighty first, and He'll bless you, amen. said, when you go ahead into that house, he said, there abide and thence depart. He was saying, listen, we've got a message. We've got something that we need to tell these people around here. And the message is urgent. The message is important. And don't you get sidetracked. You stay right there. You let those people know at that house that you're, what your testimony is. And by the way, over there in Mark, I think he said they went out two by two. So there would be two people in this house. There would be two people in that house. There would be six houses around wherever. And they were to stay in that house. And can I tell you why? The people around that home, amen, they would see those people ministering. They would watch what was going on. And they stood close by the house there, whatever they went around. And the people would see what was going on in that house. In that area. You know what I thought about? I wonder if people see what's going on in our lives when we're ministering. I wonder, not just when we're ministering, but I wonder if people see what's going on in our lives as Christians when we're working on the job. I wonder if people see what's going on in our lives when we're out and we're shopping. I wonder if people see what's going on in our lives when we're out just having a good old time. He said, you stay in that house and don't you leave that house until you get ready to go somewhere else. People around are watching us Christians. They're watching us. Abide there and thence depart. Verse 5, and whosoever will not receive you. There would be times when they would go to a house and they'd throw them on out. They did not want to hear about Jesus. They did not want to hear what those disciples had to say. They'd go knock on the door and they'd say, hey, just going to get out of here. We don't want to hear nothing about it. Doesn't that sound familiar today? Doesn't that sound familiar when you hand a tract out sometimes? Doesn't that sound familiar when you invite somebody to the house of God? Doesn't that sound familiar maybe when you're praying somewhere or eating and people look at you and kind of smock at you and laugh? Doesn't that sound familiar today? He said, and whosoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony. And then it said against them. Just go ahead and shake. That's what the rabbis would do when they left and it didn't go well. They would shake the dust off their feet. They didn't. It was a symbol of serious judgment on that place. Serious judgment. That they turned away the disciples. And they turned away from the Word of God. They had serious judgment on their hands. And they said, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. There was to be no yelling. There was to be no accusations done. They weren't saying, you're crazy. Why don't you listen to me, you fool? Why don't you do this and do that? They weren't to do none of that. They just told them, turn around, shake the dust off your feet, and go ahead and go to another place. Let me tell you what, the world will laugh at us sometimes. The world will mock us at times. The world will actually think we're crazy at times when we start talking about Jesus. One they've never seen, one they've never, some people never heard about. They'll laugh at you and mock at you. But I'm telling you something, give them a track anyhow. I'm telling you something to witness to them anyhow. I'm telling you something, invite them to the house of God anyhow. Because I tell you what, you don't want their blood on your hands, amen. Go ahead and witness to them. Let them laugh at you. Jesus, listen, they laughed and mocked at Jesus. Hey, listen, they're not mocking you. They're laughing at Jesus, amen. Go ahead and witness to them anyhow. Shake off the dust from your feet and go on. Let me tell you something. We can't get discouraged when the world mocks us. We can't get discouraged when people laugh at us. We can't get discouraged when they take that tract and throw it on the ground. I've had that happen many times. We can't get discouraged. Listen, you can't get mad at a sinner for what he does. He's just doing what he knows to do. He's just following his father, Satan. You can't get mad at him. Show him love. Show him kindness. That's what Jesus did. And that's what he told his disciples to do. Verse 6, now we see their obedience. Watch their obedience. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Healing everywhere. They did everything that Jesus told them to do. He said, you get out, you go, you've got power, you've got authority, you go out two by two, and you go out and you witness for me, and you be a testimony, and you represent me. And that's exactly what they did. They went out two by two, house by house, and all around and started witness. The Bible says, and healing everywhere, everywhere. You know, the whole country was filled with news of the God's kingdom. There was preaching, healing, Jesus talking about Jesus. Jesus went of all of Galilee, all that area, to hear the message, to hear about him. And let me tell you something, Jesus wants to see the same thing today. There's young people, there's people all around this community that Jesus wants them to hear about him. There's people at your workplace, at my workplace. There's people that live around you and by me that Jesus wants them to hear about him. I like that part about shake off the dust. Don't give them a hard time, just leave. I tell you, there will be people that'll mock you and laugh at you. I remember years ago up at State Line, when we were going there. I guess this was in the mid-90s, maybe the early 2000s. There was a multi-million dollar man and his family. He's the guy that puts all these big signs up all along 95. I can't remember his name. And he'd go out, in his ministry, he'd go out and he'd dress up as a bum. And he smelled horrible. He looked like a bum, smelled like a bum, acted like a bum. Him and his wife looked horrible. He said he'd go out to different churches. He'd call the pastor up at the church and say, hey, this is my ministry, explain what he was doing. And he'd come to that church and nobody would know what was going on except the pastor. And he'd come in there. And I remember him coming up the State Line. It was one morning that we had a men's breakfast meeting. I'll never forget it. And I'm telling you, this changed my outlook on a lot of things. We went up there that one day. I think there were seven or eight of us there. We were all eating outside. And one of the guys happened to look out in the field and seen these two people out there. And I mean, they looked like bums. And I remember he said, you know what? We got to give them something to eat. And I said, you know, we got plenty here. Go ahead, go give it to them. And he'd go out there and he'd take the food to him and his wife. And he sat down with them and said, why don't you come into the house of God? And the guy said, oh, he said, I smell terrible. I look terrible. My wife and I, we're just a bunch of tramps and we don't know what's going on. And we don't want it. He said, just come on into the house of God. Hear the word of God. Him and his wife came in there. And once he started, this thing took the whole service up. Everybody thought, oh my, what's this guy doing here? What's he doing around here? Why is the preacher let this? He looks horrible, smells horrible. Him and his wife look terrible. He come up and told his testimony, what he was doing for the Lord. He said he had people, he had deacons, before he even got to the front door, tell him to better leave, go home, get cleaned up before you come back in. He said him and his wife were laying out there on the ground like they were hungry, and he had deacons of that church walk right over top of them and said, I wish you'd get off my property. We've got people coming into the house of God. I'm telling you, that shook the whole church up. That's what this man did for his ministry. Amen. Hey, listen. It said, listen, they will turn you away. They will not receive you. Amen. Christian, we need to be courteous to strangers because you never know who you are talking to. Amen. The Bible says over there in Hebrews, it said, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. These two people went out. They were multi-millionaires, and they went out and dressed up like a bunch of bums, and they were showing people the love of Christ. Amen. Hey, listen, showing people this is what you ought to do when somebody comes through the doors. Hey, listen, I'm thankful this church, amen. If somebody comes through the doors of this church, amen, doesn't matter what they look like, doesn't matter what they smell like, amen. They coming in, they want to hear about Jesus, amen. We can't turn them down. We can't turn them away. We've got the gospel to show them, amen. Amen. That's what Jesus said. That's what Jesus said. He said over there in verse 7, he healed everywhere. And I want to show you the effect of their going out. There was an effect to this. 7, 8, 9, thou Herod the tetrarch heard all that was done by him. Heard everything that was done, all the wonderful miracles, everything that was done. And he was perplexed because some said of some that John was risen from the dead. Herod had killed John the Baptist, had his head cut off, and he remembered his sin. And now he felt perplexed. He felt guilty for what he did. He heard about what was going on. Hey, is this John the Baptist coming back to life? Watch what he says. Herod said, and some others that Elias have appeared, and of others that one of the old prophets was risen again. And Herod said, John have I beheaded, but who is this? Who is this of whom I hear such things? And he desired to see him. I don't really think Herod desired to see him, because when he did, he just wanted to see Jesus do a big miracle in front of him. That's what he desired. He didn't really desire to know Christ. He just wanted to see the Lord do a big old miracle in front of him. But he said, who is this that I'm hearing all about? Who is this? He says, Elias, and of others, that one of the old prophets was risen again. Was it John the Baptist? Was it Elias? Was it one of the old prophets that had risen again? Let me tell you what, there's only one, amen, that had risen from the grave. There's only one, amen, that had healed the sick and made the lame to walk and the blind to see and conquered death, hell, and the grave. Jesus Christ, amen. He is the one, amen. He conquered all that. It was nobody else but him. And you can have salvation through that. Watch, Herod, watch. Who is this of whom I hear such things? If he was honest about it, that would have been one of the greatest questions he could have asked. Who is this? Who are you? Who is this Jesus? Who is this man that's doing all these miracles of whom I hear such things? Aren't you glad you heard what the Lord has done for you? Aren't you glad for the Word of God that we don't have to guess? Aren't you glad you've heard that Jesus came, amen, and that Jesus lived and he died and he rose again? Aren't you glad the good things that you've heard of the Lord? And then he said, he not only, who is this, but whom I hear such things, and he desired to see him. Let me ask you, Christian, are you desiring to see the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you desiring to see him one day? Are you desiring to see those nail-scarred hands and that body that he gave for you? Are you longing for heaven? Who is this that I've heard so much about and I've desired to see him? Herod didn't really care. He just wanted to see a miracle. That's all he wanted. Watch. And the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that he had done. And he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. He went to a desert place with the people, with the disciples there, the apostles. He knew they needed rest. He knew they needed time alone. They had been out busy doing the will of God. He knew they needed rest. And Jesus took them to a place where they could get rest. I'm glad he cares about how we feel. I'm glad that when our ministry sometimes becomes so overburdened and our world becomes so heavy and the things of the world just weigh us down, even our ministry, can I say, what we do for the Lord, sometimes it can weigh us down. I'm glad he cares. I'm glad he gives us rest. Watch. Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He'll give you rest. He'll be there for you. Mary, could you just play something soft on the piano? Heads bowed, eyes closed tonight.